Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 105 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and good old Sean Orford. How are you doing?
It's been good old.
Good old. No, it's just figure of speech, don't get so touchy.
Good young, Sean.
You need to be more mindful of the moment, not worrying about how old you are or how young you once were.
Living in the future or the past.
Yeah, little clue for you there, chaps. We're carrying on with our free audio course, working our way through the Live in the Present book. Today's step four, mindfulness, right, Sean?
Which is very much the kind of middle point of the course, because if you've let go of the past and you want to move into a positive future, then it's the middle point. But we'll come to that.
We will. We'll recap a little bit and we'll move on. Just before I do go on, remember to check out our website, liveinthepresent.co.uk. You can actually get a mindfulness toolkit free of charge if you've pop your email address in one of the boxes. Lots of you already have, because we'll also send you weekly podcast alerts as well, so you can get this show as soon as it goes out, pretty much, or within an hour or so. Not bad, eh?
Very good.
Not bad at all. And there's a limited time offer while we're in this course. You can actually get our book for no cost by visiting our website, but it's a secret link. So listen up, folks, for I will say this only once per episode. liveinthepresent.co.uk/secret. And then you'll be able to read the book. I am working on a bit of an iPhone, iPad fix. A few people have had trouble reading it in the browser on an iPad, haven't they, Sean? So yeah. I'm working on that, and I will email out. But if you send me an email, ed@liveinthepresent.co.uk, I'll let you know, but I'll stick a fix up as well. Soon. How you been, Sean? What have you been up to?
I'm very, very good. We've just been over to Manchester to visit our friends Sonia and G, who've just had a little baby.
Beautiful. I did see a picture.
And it's in terms of living in the now, living in the present, that baby's living in the present.
Yes.
Everything is in the now, which is amazing. And we can learn a lot from watching babies who are fixed in their present moment.
Yeah, I know. I woke up and this morning and flipped on Facebook, and a pal overnight has had a kid, so he put a few pickies up. And it was him in the chair with his son, his new son, and he had that classic kind of I haven't slept for 36 hours look, but I'm quite happy. Yeah, or will be in, you know, when I've had a kid.
Yeah, that's good.
In 18 years. But so yeah, it's cool. And I should have said, actually, we have an elephant in the room, don't we? Or something much more dangerous.
I've got a little elephant.
I've got my 3-year-old sitting behind Sean on the sofa. Hello, Will. Giving us a wave there. I'm on dad duty this morning, but he's been a good little lad, isn't he?
Yeah, it's good.
We've drugged him up with the iPad and the Netflix app, so he's got Fireman Sam on the go. Headphones on.
It's the best.
Beautiful. He's living in the present, isn't he?
Yeah. Living in his moment.
Busy time for me as well. I think I mentioned last week we've got busy old June, but I've had one wedding of two last weekend. My cousin Heather got married up in Northumberland, so quality little family do.
Yeah,
actually the kids were invited, which on paper should be a nice thing, but sometimes when you go to a wedding you just want to be able to kick back a little bit. So we had the kids there, but they were good fun, and Will was on the dance floor at 10 at night in his Gruffalo pyjamas dancing away. Absolutely loving it. So congrats to Heather and Paul, who got married.
Good. And you've moved into a new office.
Yeah, flipping heck. It's been a very busy time. Just yesterday morning, actually. Office in Liverpool now, Old Hall Street, right in the thick of the business district, really.
Yeah. So do you go over on the train?
I did yesterday, I probably will. I'll probably cycle the station and hop on the train, and it's just right next to Moorfields, really.
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting, working at home for 7-odd years I've been, and kind of stepping up a little bit.
So does that feel good? To be interacting with others?
It does. It does. It's been a while, really, but it felt good, actually, because there's like it's a proper business building, and there's like a W.H. Smith's on the ground floor and all that. Other people on our floor that I'm kind of saying hello to and getting to know. Plus people in the office as well. We're sharing an office with another little company, so yeah, actually working with human beings, like,
yeah,
rather than just emailing them all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, see how it goes.
Yeah, it's good.
But it's a 12-month lease. I don't know if I heard that. That was Will just babbling away. So yeah, I better like it because we're paying for 12 months. So
you better like it.
All good. Right, should we crack on with this week's topic? Which, quick another mention to that. If you want to read where we're up to in the book, livingthepresent.co.uk/secret. There'll be a blog post about this online as well on the website. But yeah, this week we are talking about mindfulness. But a quick recap before that, because steps 1, 2, and 3 are very important, aren't they, Sean? Basically,
yeah.
There's no rush, but you need to work through those initial steps before you come to this, really.
Yeah, and we need to, later on in this broadcast, we need to just address some of the negative issues that are associated with mindfulness, which have been raised in the press, because if you don't complete steps 1, 2, and 3...
Yeah.
Then mindfulness in terms of practice of things like reflective, you're doing meditative stuff, are you, Will? then if you're doing that, or what you do is you raise the negative issues that you haven't resolved in steps 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
But yes, okay, step number one was about how you let go of your negative emotional attachments to other people. So you're letting go of things that people have done to you that you blame other people for. You're getting that out of your mind, out of your emotions, out of your life.
Yeah, watch it sail down the river, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Toodaloo.
Yeah. So step two is about acknowledging your part in the negative connections to other people and letting go of those.
Mm-hmm.
So they go down the river.
Ciao. Yeah. See you later.
Yeah, and this bit, you don't want to go down the road, you want to hang on to this bit, is step number three, is about gratitude, about reviewing the things that have happened in your life that you're grateful for, and building a base of gratitude. And what that means is you go into the mindfulness section of this process in a positive state, that you've let go of negative past, so that when you do begin to still your mind and start to live in your present, you're not just continue repeating the negatives from the past.
Okay.
Because you process them.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but we'll come back to that in a bit.
We will. Yeah. We will indeed.
Yeah.
Early on in the book, we mentioned the monkey, don't we? Or in this chapter, the monkey gets a mention.
Yeah, it's if you anyone's aware of the Chimp Paradox, which is a book that's kind of got quite a lot of acclaim over the last couple of years. In the East, your mind is seen as a monkey, and in Eastern psychotherapy, and if you don't learn to keep the monkey in the cage, keep it under control, then it will run off and throw bananas at you. And depending on what kind of monkey you have in your mind, you can have a mischievous monkey, you can have an angry monkey, a suicidal monkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take your pick.
Yeah.
But once that part of you comes out and the monkey runs off and starts throwing bananas at you, then you've got problems.
Case in point. There is eating
a banana.
I am your monkey. I'm not going to start chucking at you.
The bit that's interesting to me in your banana habit is, why have you chopped it?
Well, it's a good question, but it's a very good answer. It's an easy answer. Well, actually, it was for Will, but he doesn't need it chopped because he eats it. He'll just, you know, munch on it. I think he's on the sofa and I didn't want him to be mushing up in his hands and making a mess. So
you've eaten it instead.
But he didn't eat
so it. There you are, eating your son's breakfast.
Well, he's had an apple. He has eaten all of his apple, I think, so...
Yeah.
Give him a Mars bar instead. Mars bar and an iPad. Have a good day.
Get off.
Yeah, but an interesting thing about the monkey, which I asked earlier on before we went on air, it's not about locking that monkey in its cage and kind of keeping it in there, is it?
No, in fact, it's the reverse. If you hate your monkey, if you hate that negative side of yourself, you know, maybe you're getting angry, you're getting aggressive, you're getting anxious, you're getting sad, but whatever's going on, and you go, oh God, stop it!
Yep.
And you start to get angry with yourself, you make it worse. And in terms of what we're talking about in the book, that's Kuei's law of reversed effort.
Right.
So Emil Coué is the guy that invents phrases like "every day and everywhere I'm getting better and better," because he did lots of work on how the unconscious mind accepts and rejects messages.
Right.
And if you present your unconscious mind with a negative message, it reverses the effort of giving up and makes it worse. So you get this reversed effort going on.
So it's about controlling it and just having it, well, training the monkey to sit there peacefully by itself.
What I say to people, what I say to people is name your monkey. And there's a part of you which is you. It's not distinct from you, so it's not multiple personality disorder. But when you have a negative bit of you, it's easier to give it an identity. So my monkey's called Eric.
My monkey's called William.
And in my world, when Eric comes out to play and creating negative stuff in my mind and my emotions, I've learned over the years to say, "Hey, Eric, how you doing? You all right, mate? I'm busy." And I don't go with him. I don't let him run off and throw bananas.
Yeah.
So what I do is I love Eric back in the cage and just click the door and just lock him up.
Yeah.
So he doesn't interfere with my current present being.
Okay, should try giving him an iPad.
Yeah, and a Mars bar.
Yeah. Chopped up apple. Yeah, yeah. Mars bar.
but we all have monkeys, and we all have bits of ourselves, negative stuff that comes out.
Yep.
And usually you only see someone's monkey when they're under pressure.
Well, when did your monkey come out? Because me personally, I can be quite an impatient chap, actually. So that's
so your monkey's impatient?
Yeah.
Yeah? My monkey, Eric, is a bit dark. He's a bit kind of negative, suicidal-y kind of monkey.
Blanchard. Okay.
And that comes from childhood and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Eric is that kind of doom-ridden, miserable person.
How often does Eric come out?
Hardly at all these days. I mean, maybe he'll visit once a year. You know what I mean? And usually it's when...
you've chopped your iPad, smashed your phone.
No, that's like, I don't mind that. That's okay, that's all right. It's when you know, that feeling of being stressed and tired and then you can't sleep properly and it's 3 o'clock in the morning and suddenly, without even realising it, the monkey slips out and suddenly you're ruminating on things and you think, I thought I was over all this stuff, and you think, ah, monkey.
Eric.
Yeah, and then it's like, hi, Eric, how you doing, mate?
You know, coaxing him with a banana. Yeah.
back in the cage, yeah. it's inevitable. Like I say, everyone has monkeys. It's not... some people say to me when they start working, they say, monkey, I've got a troop of them here. Yeah.
What's the collective?
A troop. No.
Is it a troop?
A troop.
Oh, wow, okay, excuse me.
A troop of monkeys, yeah.
Chimpanzees?
Yeah.
A troop of chimps as well,
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Or a gaggle or something like that?
No, those are geese.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But okay, all right, so that's kind of a long recap, but it's important, isn't it? Because,
yeah.
In fact, the mindfulness chapter, mindfulness is actually mentioned right towards the end, really.
Yeah.
Because we're so focused on getting those first three steps done.
Because the thing that is so important is that if you don't do those first three steps, and then you sit down and you attempt to focus and do mindful focusing, what do you focus on? You tend to go right back into the negative stuff and focus on the negative stuff.
Yeah.
So if you don't do that, you could create problems for yourself.
Okay, but let's move on because with mindfulness, it's kind of like welcome to your present, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like this thing that's been eluding you for however many days, weeks, years, who knows?
Yeah.
It's like this is the good stuff, right?
To be present to yourself in the moment, whatever you're doing, to be mindful of what you're doing. And think of mindfulness as being in the moment. Because mindfulness isn't sitting under a banyan tree in a loincloth meditating. That's mindfulness is a 24-hour a day. You can sleep mindfully. You know, you can eat mindfully. You can walk mindfully. You can make love mindfully.
Mm.
Yeah, everything that you do, if you're aware of yourself in the present. I always think when I'm running a group or doing a talk at a conference or something like that.
Yep.
I know that the people in the room, their minds are going to be wandering. And they're going to be wandering because they're still locked into their past or they're worried about their future and they're worried about, you know, the kids or the washing or what I've got to do when I get back to the office or when I get home or whatever. Their minds are going to be wandering all over the place.
Right.
So that it's always useful when you're delivering stuff like that to kind of move around on the stage and kind of make yourself a bit of a focus to maintain people's concentration.
Mm-hmm.
And getting your PowerPoints right so you don't get death by PowerPoint.
Indeed. I can help with that.
But you are the man. But that idea of being able to be where I am, because if you're worried about things and you're connected to past things, the chances are that you're not in your present. You know, you may have fleeting moments in your present.
Yeah.
You know that feeling when you're in a car and suddenly you've gone a huge distance and suddenly you realise that you can't remember having driven the last 10 miles, that kind of feeling, because you haven't been in your present. You haven't been where you are, you've been somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah?
And I'm sure lots of accidents and things happen.
Indeed, drifting up forward, yeah, not focusing.
Yeah, because people are not in the moment. They're not in the moment.
Something that does bring you to the moment when you're driving is... I was driving at night the other night, and it was lashing it down a couple of nights ago. Absolutely torrential.
Yeah.
I was driving back along the old Chester High Road, and it's national speed limit, but I was doing it probably about 45, 50. I was within the limit, you know. But last minute, I saw behind the wipers and the lights a huge puddle in my lane, like literally the whole lane. Oh my gosh, here we go. Oof. Kind of just.
Did you aquaplane?
I must have a little bit, because. But like the steering wheel was juddering like nobody's business and all sorts. Luckily, no one in this lane beside me, but that kind of woke me up a lot.
Yeah.
It was quite late as well. And then further down the road, there's police lights flashing, so obviously someone had met a bit of a sticky end. I'm sure they were fine. I hope they were. Stuff like that jolts you awake every now and again, doesn't it?
Yeah. But to be in your present most of the time. Because I think it's probably impossible to be in your present totally.
Mm-hmm.
But to live in your present moment takes a bit of practice, but it's the only way that you can live your life. The amount of people that I work with who get to retirement who are saying to me, what was that all about? Where did it go?
Yeah.
And it was because they never lived the moment. They were always living in their past or their future, not in the present.
Okay.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Because it's like all that exists at this moment. I know we've got a microphone and people will be listening to this, but all that exists at this moment is you and I and Will in a room. Mm-hmm. Nothing else exists.
Yep.
Yeah, we can worry about where other people are. We could be anxious about where people are, or we could be depressed about where other people are.
Mm.
But actually, no one's here. There's just you and me.
And Will.
And Will.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's also this time when a bit of honesty is needed in terms of what you really, 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 really... I'm starting to sound like you now.
what really, really, really want from life,
isn't it?
But the thing is that people fail to achieve what they really want. A, because they're stuck in the past, which hopefully we've now got rid of.
Yep.
But also, they're not clear about what they want. If I say to people, what do you want? What do you really want? What do you really, 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 really want? People look at me, and virtually everybody starts off with, well, I want to be happy. Yeah, and?
Yeah.
Yeah, happy is one of those words. It's like love, isn't it? I love you. What does love mean? I'd love a cream bun. Does it mean I want to spend my life with you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like happiness is like that. It's to be clear about what you want in the present so that you can create it in the future requires that you can describe it in detail. You can smell it, taste it, what shape is it, what colour is it. You've got to know what it is precisely. Then you can get it.
Yeah.
And happiness isn't... an amorphous state of being. Happiness is the result of doing something.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's the symptom, not the cause, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not big on the word happy. In fact, I'm starting to dislike the word happy as much as the word nice. It's kind of nice. So nondescriptive.
Yeah.
Maybe we should write a book about hating happiness.
Yes. Unhappy is the way to be.
Okay.
Yeah. But people use lots of words like that, don't they? I mean, one of the jokes in psychotherapy, someone comes into the therapy room and you say, how are you doing? And they say, I'm fine. You know, and fine in psychotherapy stands for effing insincere with no emotion, F-I-N-E. Uh-huh. Because then you say, how are you really? And they go, and then it all comes out.
Yeah.
But we all say things like, oh, yeah, I'm fine, now I'm really happy, you know, it's really good, whatever.
Yeah, we do that in Britain, don't we?
But it's okay if you're living it and believing it. I mean, I do go into work and people say, how are you today? And I say, I'm absolutely bloody amazing.
Yo.
You know, but I am. I'm feeling good.
A, B. A, yeah, or something.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mindfulness is pretty trendy these days. It's getting mentioned all over the shop, and it even has a Wikipedia description, which mindfulness is the intentional, accepting, and non-judgmental focus on one's attention on the emotions, thoughts, and sensations occurring in the present moment, which can be trained by meditational practices derived from Buddhist...
Anapanasati.
Yes.
And anapana as a Buddhist technique is about being able to focus.
Right.
It's being able to focus on things, yeah. The thing that I like, the thing that I'm drawn towards, is something called Vipassana.
Yeah, you've been on a... Well, Henri, you've been on a course, eh?
Yeah.
But how long were you shut in a room for?
10 days. 10 days.
Cool.
I started doing Vipassana stuff, 30-odd years ago. Vipassana is Buddhism with the Buddha taken out. So it's seen as like scientific... mindfulness, scientific meditation, rather than having sort of religiosity in it, which I'm more comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
So, and if people say to you, what are you? You know, when people get into, I'm a Christian, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Jew, I'm whatever. I suppose I feel more kind of Buddhist that people would understand, but actually I feel more Vipassana or Ayurvedic. So they're kind of the scientific end of sort of metaphysical stuff.
I mean, you keep mindfulness into... I don't like the word mindfulness. It sounds too full. I like the phrase be mindful.
Be mindful.
But yeah, to be mindful. Anyway, but you put either into Google and a million things will come back, which Google will do that for any word, actually. But some interesting stuff. And even one of the top hits is an NHS link. So and I know that it's been used more and more in the NHS, isn't it? Well, you'll know more about that.
Yeah, and it's I think one of the reasons nice like mindfulness is that it's seen as effective. It's empirically provable that it's effective,
cost effective too.
Yeah, but that's the point. It's cheaper than drugs.
Yeah,
and it's true that once somebody learns to use mindfulness techniques, they become their own therapist. They become their own coach.
Yeah,
because they can then start to deal with their own stuff. Accepting that, because we're putting some links up here, aren't we, to research that's showing that it's like the dark side of meditation, the cost of mindfulness, is it too high? Because there are people that are reporting that people are having negative, even psychotic experiences from mindfulness practice.
Right.
Right. Now, the thing is that if you do any kind of analytical work on somebody, as soon as you start to get into the analytical, it's in analysis, you're actually looking at in fine detail past events.
Right.
And if someone has a psychotic base to their personality, then what happens is that as you start to review them, you kick off the psychosis.
Mm.
Yeah, and in meditative practice, especially the longer meditations, not because the short meditations of like 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes are more relaxing.
Okay.
When you get into the deeper, which is what mindfulness tends to do, you tend to get into half hour, hour or longer meditations.
Uh-huh.
Then you're starting to activate parts of yourself where there are things that maybe you have hidden in the cupboard at the back of your mind, and suddenly there you are blundering in the cupboard, pulling the stuff out.
Sure.
Which is why our process here is grounded very clearly in getting rid of the connections to the past before you move into the mindfulness practice.
Mm.
Yeah, which minimises any negative effects. In fact, I've never ever worked with anybody mindful who's had negative effects from it, but we've always ensured that the negative stuff in terms of connections to the past is dealt with.
Yeah, one of the links to the recent negative reports is, well, I'll put it up as a Daily Mail one, so I mean, you kind of expect them to be a bit kind of OTT and crazy, and before long I was clicking all the site links in the side, and I was looking at people in bikinis and all sorts.
Yes, people, men as well.
anyone in a bikini. but yeah, we'll put some stuff up to that as well. It's all interesting bits and bobs, isn't it?
I think that mindfully, which is being present to yourself and present to the world in the moment, you need to be as aware of any negative feedback as any positive. You're making reasoned judgments about who you are in this present, in this moment.
Yeah.
One of the things that it would indicate to me, the kind of reports that are coming out, that are probably blown up a bit from a news point of view, that the people that are teaching the mindfulness are people that aren't experienced either as mindfulness practitioners or they haven't got the therapeutic background to do it.
Mm.
And because we have CBT, as cognitive behavioural therapy, as a mainline psychotherapeutic intervention in the West, we've now got mindful CBT, which is the stuff that's going on. And the bit that it doesn't address, because mind thing that I always go on about, is mind is mindful cognitive affective behavioural therapy. And the affective is emotional. So mindfully, you deal with the cognitive stuff, which is the thinking stuff. You deal with the emotional stuff, which is the, called affective in psychospeak, and the behavioural stuff.
Yeah.
So, but if you miss out the emotional bit, which is what happens in a lot of these processes, that's when you get the problems.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, the good things from this heightened awareness and the focus on each moment is that you can start to enjoy every second of every day, kind of.
Well, you can start to enjoy where you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, we live in a world of all these devices, and these devices mean it's easy to not be where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times do you see people walking down the road with their head down, looking at a screen with their thumb going
up? Well, now I'm on the morning commute. Yeah, that was one thing I noticed. I mean, I've noticed before anyway. But yeah, at the train station or walking through town, it's everyone head down.
So no one's actually where they are.
Mm.
Yeah, no one's looking at the sky. No one's looking at the people around them. People are focused in. Either that or they've got a pair of headphones on and they're off in somewhere else on the headphones.
Yeah. Listen to a podcast, maybe.
Yeah, that's okay. You can do that.
Yeah, wait till this finish this one, then switch it off.
but that sense of... If you want to be mindful, then... Because we have our daily tasks, isn't it? Like, live every moment in the now.
Yeah.
With mindful awareness. And what that means, look around at your surroundings and actually look around you. What's around you? Look at the table, the chair that you sat on, the people that you're with.
Yeah.
You know, what does where you're like smell like?
Mm.
You know, can you taste it? Yeah, it's all that kind of stuff. But actually be where you are. And one of the things that Andy does in Headspace... is he when you sign up for Headspace, he clicks a thing into your diary bit,
mm-hmm.
that as several times a day something will pop up on your screen, whether it's your iPad, your computer, or your phone, that says, "What are you doing now? Be mindful for the next 2 minutes," which is a really powerful thing. Being mindful,
yeah, that's where these devices can kind of really help.
That's the useful bit, But it's the idea about actually tune into where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about, you know, you're talking to your loved one, to your partner, to people at work, it's like, how much are you focusing on what the person's saying, mm-hmm. and how much is your mind wandering off somewhere else? Or is your mind trying to formulate... Hello.
He's still in the room. He's popped out of his cage. We'll get you on the microphone later, Will.
Yeah.
You won't like that.
You know, is your mind trying to construct a response to what the person that you're talking to is saying rather than listening to what they're saying?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When people are mindful, life tends to slow down a bit.
Okay.
It doesn't mean to say that you can't work quickly and efficiently, but it becomes less frenetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are more measured in what they're doing, how they're living, what they're thinking, what they're feeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Kind of slow motion. Doing things in a bit more calm.
Yeah, but getting a huge amount done.
But not being surprised by things as well when they pop up in front of you. It's like, okay, I saw that coming, and just calmly reacting to it. And moving on, rather than just constantly batting away things all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anything else in our little tips?
Well, we're talking here about using a journal to start to record where you're up to. Because one of the things in this, in terms of the course that we're doing, is that if you can let go of the past, and you can if you do the work, and you can get into your present, okay, you're in your present. Now you're in a position to decide what you want to do with your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, because up to this moment, you've been held back by the connections to the negative past, all those things that all shoulds, musts, all the things that people told you, those negative beliefs.
Yep.
Yeah. If you're rid of those so that you have the freedom to actually be where you are without worrying about, you know, what I look like, what people will think of me, all that kind of stuff, what do you want to do? Mm. What would you really, really like to do?
Yeah.
With your life, because then you've got a chance, doesn't matter what age you are, you've got a chance from here on in of creating some fulfillment for yourself.
Cool.
Yeah. And remember, the definition of success here is that if you can wake up in the morning with a smile on your face, feeling good about the day you're going to have, and you can go to bed with a smile on your face, feeling good about the day that you've just had, then you're living a pretty good life.
You cracked it. Yeah.
And in terms of our definitions here, you're a successful person.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's no 18-bedroom houses involved there, or Ferraris and Lamborghinis.
Yeah. And how many people have we met with Ferraris and Lamborghinis who are the most miserable people on the planet? Because I've met loads of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met people who have absolutely nothing, who are on their bones, who are the happiest people around.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when you travel and you go to a village in the middle of nowhere, you're in Burma or in India or somewhere, and you meet a bunch of people who, in our terms, are poverty-stricken.
Yep.
They have absolutely nothing. You've got kids making toys out of plastic bottles and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah? But they're the really, really happy people.
Yeah, my little 8-month-old lad, Jacob, at the moment, he's happiest with a toothbrush. Give him a toothbrush and he's in heaven.
Yep.
Playing away with it.
Yep.
So try that little tip. Yeah. That's my resource of the week.
Yes, I can get a toothbrush.
Speaking of which, you have a resource of the week for us, Sean?
I'm going to suggest, it's one of my favourites, is if you go on YouTube and you go on to Marty Borison's, if you just type in One Moment Meditation, we'll put a link up for it. Marty Borison is about, all this mindfulness stuff about sitting for hours or, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. He says, let's do it the other way around. Let's start with a minute and get it smaller and smaller and smaller so that you can actually learn when you start losing it to come right back into the present and to focus yourself. Really, really powerful technique. I use it with so many people that I work with.
Cool.
It is really, really good.
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant one. We'll stick that in the show notes for sure. Mine's a bit more long form. It's a YouTube video again, but it's an interview with a chap called Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's a physicist, kind of astrophysicist guy, American dude.
Right.
You will have seen him, I'm sure, or at least heard his voice at some point. There's an hour-long interview with him on London Real, the YouTube podcast, which is brilliant in itself. I find it cool. I mean, to expand my mind to how big the universe is, and that helps me focus on.
Yeah.
Just kind of...
Yeah. It's interesting when you get to that whole kind of quantum physics area, how these guys are sounding like gurus. They talk about source energy, which sounds like other people talking about God. It's very powerful stuff. And I suppose in terms of a resource, when you're looking at that stuff, the finite bit of being right in the moment, do you remember that DVD series, What the Bleep Do We Know Anyway?
Yeah, Down the Rabbit Hole and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, amazing stuff. Mm. Really worth a watch.
Yeah, we'll stick that up as well. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Next week, or next chapter in the book, is intention.
Yeah.
So do you want to give a quick little brief soundbite about that?
Well, if you follow the process, we got rid of the past, we're living in the present, and we want to create a future.
Mm.
But to create a future, we have to have ways of focusing. And the best way of focusing is intention, having an intent to do something and achieve something.
It's like purpose and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where we need to go next. And we need to address a little bit, because we've looked at the past depressive stuff, we just need to mention a bit about anxiety and not projecting too far into the future.
Sure.
Yeah, because then we have the danger of living negative futures that may never happen, but living them now.
Yeah, little baby steps, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice. Cool, right. Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links we just mentioned.
Yep.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that. And
yep.
Especially Facebook, because Reed puts some cool stuff on there every day, doesn't she?
Yep.
Yeah, and if you could share this show with a pal or two or 1,000, that would be fantastic.
Or 2,000.
We did pass a major download milestone this week.
Yeah, we're doing really well. It's good.
Amazing. So yeah,
thank you to everybody.
Yeah, big thanks for your support and all the emails that we get in, which is beautiful. And yeah, we'll see you all next week, Robin.
Yeah.
See you, Sean.
You take care. Bye.
Bye, Will.
Bye.